Good morning, everyone. There's plenty going on for the president today, but when Air Force One touches down in Accra, Ghana, it will be just after sunset, and there on the tarmac will be veteran West Africa correspondent for our partners, the BBC, Will Ross, who now covers East Africa but has been deployed to Accra for this historic arrival of the president. Will Ross, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Describe the level of anticipation in Ghana. It is not unprecedented for a president to visit. In fact, George W. Bush was just there a year ago. But what's it like on the ground today?
Well, there's a lot of anticipation. People are very excited about the imminent arrival of President Barack Obama. I was actually here a year ago, and it was certainly a very different feeling then. Not as much enthusiasm for George Bush's visit. Have to be said, though, 10 years ago, Bill Clinton was here, and enormous crowds greeted him on the streets. Sadly, it looks as though this particular trip by President Obama, it's going to be about 24 hours, and there won't be much of an opportunity for the Ghanaian people, ordinary Ghanaians, to get a glimpse of him. And, they'll probably end up, most of them, watching it on television stations because it's a pretty tight schedule. And partly because of the rainy season and partly because of security concerns, there aren't going to be a great deal of opportunities for people to see him. Having said that, people are excited and very proud that he's chosen Ghana as the country to visit to send out his message to Africa.
So some definite rainy season rain on the parade there for Barack Obama. Why are the security concerns so much higher for this president than, say, Bill Clinton or George W. Bush?
Well, I think it's similar security concerns this time as there were for President George Bush when he was here. But remember that 10 years ago when Bill Clinton came, that was pre 9/11, and I think just with a general feeling that things were a little safer. Now the security is a bit tighter, and also it's a short visit. This is only 24 hours, and he's also arriving quite late at night, so that's not going to be easy for Ghanaians to get out and welcome him. Getting home is actually quite difficult from the airport. There's also a lot of restrictions on where people can go, and because of the rain, it's actually going to be held in a conference center, the main address that Barack Obama is going to give. And that is invitees only. So as I say, really, it's going to be a question of most Ghanaians are proud that he's coming, a bit upset and concerned that they're not going to have a chance to really interact with him or perhaps even see him. The best they'll get is probably a fleeting glance of a car going past.
And live television there will be the best way people can witness President Obama's visit to Accra in Ghana. Will Ross, East Africa correspondent for the BBC, but a veteran West Africa reporter, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Continuing now with our discussion of President Obama's visit to Africa, and really issues related to Africa began early this morning when the president attended a breakfast, which included some leaders from Africa and also officials from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and an agricultural agreement was announced this morning worth apparently $15 billion. Joining us to talk about this, continuing with us anyway, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our part in the New York Times and longtime Africa reporter himself. You covered Johannesburg in the 90s, correct?
Yeah, I was based in Joburg and covered all of sub-Saharan Africa.
Also with us this morning is Owen Kibenge, who is a journalist from Uganda who moved to New York last August and is joining us here in the studio. Owen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot for hosting me.
To both of you, and I'll begin with you, Marcus, there were some hard issues on the table this morning for President Obama. As smushy as this story is about Obama going home and welcome home and all the posters and the kind of atmospherics, there are some very hard issues related to the troubled global economy that the president is dealing with even this morning.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's there at the G8 summit in Italy, and these are usually the billed as the most important, largest, most powerful economies in the world, and they're all very hobbled right now, and they're making lots of promises, the newest promise being a $15 billion aid package that's meant to, for once, help Africa, not by giving it, you know, commodities, which often it does. Agricultural aid is often just shipping up excess stuff from the Western countries. Right. It actually doesn't help Africa to develop.
And they get the message in Africa. They're not clueless about this. They sort of see the sloppy seconds that are coming from the West. Yeah.
And this money is meant to help Africa to actually develop agricultural capacity, which, you know, it's the old teach a man to fish versus giving him a fish. So,
Owen Kabenge, what are you thinking in terms of the issues for Barack Obama as he lands in Ghana, as opposed to all the sort of homecoming atmospherics?
First of all, my take on this trip is that he's in the wrong place at the wrong time,
uh-huh.
for starters. Because, one, he should have gone to Nairobi, not because he comes from Kenya, but because in the strategic interests of the United States, Nairobi is the front line against the war in terror in Africa, because Kenya borders Somalia on the east. Nairobi is within earshot of an indicted president of Sudan, Omar Bashir. It shares a border with a longtime dictator in Uganda, where I come from, Yoweri Museveni on the side. Nairobi and Kenya is a neighbor to Ethiopia, where Ethiopia is having an ongoing war with Eritrea. So if Obama was going to go to Africa, for me, that would have been the place. It's just for sentimental reasons that he's in Ghana, probably responding to the African-American lobby in the White House by just going to Ghana. So what?
Now, we were talking about this in our sort of editorial group, and there was some suspicion that perhaps the White House would have preferred to go to Nairobi, but that security concerns in Kenya really haven't made that possible yet. Have you heard anything about anything like that, Marcus or Owen?
It's certainly a real... It's reality, as I'm saying. I mean, the fact is, for all those reasons, Kenya is strategically important. East Africa is strategically important, but it's also a much less stable region. The White House is portraying the Ghanaian trip as and the choice of Ghana as a reward of sorts for a government that's transparent, a West African country that's stable. And one could also make an argument, and people haven't yet, but one can make an argument that because of the oil interests of the United States in West Africa and the possibility that Africa could end up, supplying a quarter of American oil going forward, that West Africa's interest is important for those economic strategic interests.
Right. Owen, are you saying, I mean, the president was in Africa when he went to Cairo, of course, in Egypt, and gave a speech where he touched on some very sensitive issues in the middle of Egypt. Cairo, not known for its democratic governance throughout the continent or throughout the world. Are you saying that Barack Obama is maybe less inclined to touch sensitive issues in sub-Saharan Africa than he was in North Africa?
I would imagine so, because his choice of destination doesn't offer him that opportunity to touch sensitive issues.
So sensitive issues are you really looking for the U.S. government to tackle one way or another?
One is electoral reforms, mm-hmm. and democracy, because he's preaching to the converted in Ghana. We need more of that in East Africa, where you have... a government, for example, in Kenya, where he comes from, that is illegitimate. They stole an election. We all saw that. There was violence, ethnic violence, that was stoked by leaders. Kofi Annan has just recently handed over an envelope containing names of people who have been indicted. You have impunity going on in southern Sudan with the Darfur crisis. I mean, this was the ultimate point where he was supposed to sit and address these issues in the Kenyan parliament, for example. And that way the surrounding areas would, the surrounding dictators would probably hear that. But his choice of Ghana, he's preaching to the converted. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a wise decision.
The Bush administration actually gained a lot of popularity in Africa in its last years by increasing the amount of foreign aid and focusing on HIV/AIDS. Do you think that the president can extend upon that legacy in Africa, Owen?
I don't think so, because the American house is on fire, and in Africa we have a saying that if your house is on fire, why should you go out and put one fire out at the neighbor's place? in terms of expecting a lot from America, we don't expect anything this time around, because you need the money here than we do in Africa. So whereas Bush's legacy is very positive and he's highly rated in East Africa, for example, where I come from, because of his AIDS policy, free antiretroviral drugs and malaria nets, we expect that this is going to be cut back, because America has priorities here at home this time.
So, Marcus, we'll give you the last word here. Is the improving American economy, in fact, the best aid for Africa, putting out the economic fire in the United States?
Oh, no question. I think what we're seeing with this trip and how domestic issues have continually interfered, and how healthcare reform issues now are at the forefront, Obama's domestic agenda is in trouble. We're seeing the link between economy, between foreign policy, between what happens here and what happens abroad. And that's why I think we're really, driving home this week.
Well, it's been a very interesting trip covering a whole lot of issues, and it's interesting to hear your level of I would say, low expectations. Owen Kipenge, thanks so much for being here. A journalist who is in New York but came from Uganda last August, speaking a little skeptically about Barack Obama, who will speak live on television to the people of Ghana and the rest of sub-Saharan Africa later today. And, of course, Marcus Mabry, our friend here at The Takeaway from The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But it's divided.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.